My name's David Huff.
And I'm Ed Tilton.
And you're listening to Startling Confessions of a Recovered Addict.
Welcome to another episode of Startling Confessions from a Recovered Addict. And in our first segment today, we have a good friend of mine, Sheila Paxton, who will share her story with us. So Sheila, tell us your startling confession.
So as I sit here with you today, David, and thank you, and when people meet me, they think, she's a person that has her stuff together, okay? But it wasn't always that way. And the story that I wanted to share with you was when I hit a bottom around my drinking and taking drugs, prescription drugs that I abused. And in my biggest trouble in Maui, Hawaii. I was living there at the time. And I thought that I was in charge of everything and trying to run the show, drinking more and more and not able to choose whether I drank or not. And then I had discovered that if I took pills, it amplified and I could check out that much faster. And drinking to oblivion was my thing. Wow. Well, I got myself in trouble when I drank. And one of the things I did is I had an affair with my boss, who today, miracle of miracles, is my husband of, you know, 35 years. But back then, you know, when you're having an affair with the boss, we split up two marriages, my marriage, his marriage. And I had no friends because I couldn't tell anybody about it. I was so ashamed, but yet, you know, living in unconsciousness. And for me, the big awakening that I had of how bad off I was my behavior was horrible with him. And he said, and he had, you know, split up this marriage and they had a lot of businesses together. And he thought, well, she looked crazy. I'm not sure what life would be like with her. And I'm going to see if I can get back together with my ex-wife. So he comes home and tells me that he's taking her to Kauai for a weekend to see if they can reconcile. Now, imagine if you can, this, you know, kind of young, addicted, crazy woman, no friends, no sense of a higher power in her life. Just alone, alone, alone. And what I did is I got had a key to his house. So I sat in this window seat where you could look up the street. And I started sitting in there on Friday afternoon. And every time I had a feeling like panic or what am I going to do? My life is over. It means my job, my, you know, whatever. I'm like dead. When I started thinking that way, I drank, had a bottle, pills. I cannot tell you how much I drank and took pills that weekend. It's amazing that I'm here to chat with you Sunday evening. So I'm looking up like this poor, pitiful young woman looking up the street, like a little girl waiting for her daddy to come home. So finally, late on Sunday night, so imagine I've not moved except to go to the bathroom. Haven't slept well, I've passed out. So he comes back and I can't imagine what I looked like. And I was crying and I said, are you going to get back together with your estranged wife? And he said, no, we just, there's too many things that have gone on, but I don't know about you. I really just don't know. So as I'm sobbing and I don't know what kind of state I was in, I went to the bathroom. Now, mind you, I had no belief in a power greater than myself. I looked in that mirror and all of a sudden there was a second one of me. Hallucination? I don't know. But I heard this booming voice and that voice said to me, look at what you've become. Holy crap. There was this sober booming voice. Look at what you've become looking in that mirror. I couldn't believe what I saw. That wasn't the person I wanted to be. And that started an 8-month journey of trying on my own to stop drinking and drugging.
Wow. So that begins the change in you. That was how many years ago?
So that was almost 35 years ago.
Almost 35 years.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you were able to find a change. What does your life look like today?
Oh my, it is amazing. You know, I found recovery, which to me, you know, for this girl that just wanted to be by herself was the solution. And in this process of recovering with a group of like-minded individuals, they helped me to heal some of my demons. It helped me to get rid of what kept me back. Helped me to learn to believe in myself. I had had survivor's guilt because my sister died when I was young. And that was one of the traumas in my family. I learned to work through that. I had nothing to do with her death. She had lupus, but I took it on because I was the only girl left. And so after doing that work, I just kept showing up for my life like people were telling me to do, just show up. And we moved from Maui with this person that I had totally misled, lied to, all of the other stuff. I got to make my amends and started a business in Arizona, then was transferred to Boulder to be a head executive at another business that led me into starting my own large company, which I got to sell, got to do my own coaching. And today, it's, you know, I have a life beyond my wildest dreams. I'm retired and pursuing the things I love. I love to help other people that are also pursuing a life of recovery. And I have a granddaughter, and that's another miracle that happened. Because of the wreckage of my past, I couldn't have children. But see, here I am with a guy that had a daughter and who years later had a baby. And I've been in, my stepdaughter calls me her bonus mom. And her daughter only knows me as Nana. I mean, a miracle. Who would have thought? You know, but all it is, all it was for me was trusting in a higher source and in other people that they know what's better for me much more than I do. And I'm just thrilled. I ride a bike. I go on cycling vacations. My husband and I travel. I would have never, ever imagined that young woman sitting in a window seat, pitifully taking drugs and drinking.
That is absolutely beautiful. And what a story of hope for our listeners. One of the things we like to do, Sheila, is both Ed and I are big on action, action, and more action. Is there an action you take these days that helps keep you on the rails, that helps keep you motivated to move forward in your recovery?
The first thing I do is when I open my eyes in the morning, I say, thank you. It's the first thing that comes into my head. I don't say it out loud because my husband's still sleeping, but I just say, thank you. And I start my day knowing that there is a higher source. And then I either get out in nature very, very early with my dog. Thank God for a dog that gets you outside. I have quiet time where I can sit and do a meditation. I have what's called monkey mind, and I use guided meditations that are just beautiful to have that connection with quiet, with breath, with source. And I think the most important thing I do in my day is maintain a sense of gratitude. And I ask that source every day to show me what I'm supposed to do today. Who am I supposed to be supportive to? What can I do to make it a little bit better of a world, which keeps me outside of myself? So that's what my practice looks like today.
Thank you, Sheila. And I, if I heard that, I've heard I've heard some similar topics here. Gratitude, first thing, right off the bat, being out in nature, and this idea of quiet time meditation. And that's not the first time we've heard the similar practice. So thank you for sharing that with us. I think it puts a real exclamation point on the practices that we can follow that can keep us moving in this direction of recovery. So I want to thank you for taking the time to share part of your life with us today. And I hope you have a beautiful day.
Thank you, David. Thanks for inviting me.
Yes, and thanks everybody for joining us today. Welcome back to the second segment of our podcast today. And as usual, this is about the actions we can take that can improve our life, improve our recovery. And Sheila gave us a great lead here with this idea of starting the day off in the proper frame of mind. And when we wrapped up, I asked her a couple of questions regarding her particular practice. And one of the techniques that she uses is an old technique based out of the Buddhist tradition called loving kindness meditation. And she says that she has experienced great benefits in terms of overall emotional and mental health as a result of this loving kindness meditation. I'm familiar with this. I've done it a few times. It's a powerful and very simple practice. Basically, it's loving kindness meditation is from the Buddhist tradition, where it's known as metta meditation, meaning benevolence, loving kindness, friendliness, goodwill. And you use phrases that you repeat. For example, you might say, may I be happy, may I be well, may I be filled with loving kindness. And we can say these phrases for other people also. And just to quickly tell you, well, why do that? That sounds a little goofy to me. There has been a considerable amount of scientific research and data gathering around the benefits of this particular loving kindness meditation practice. And I'll just give you a couple of things that make it exciting and certainly speak to the well-being of the people who practice the loving kindness meditation. It decreases negative emotions and increases positive emotions. It quiets the inner critic. I am my own worst critic, for sure. It strengthens empathy and increases compassion for ourselves and for others. It enhances social connectedness. I'm more open to being in touch with other people. It decreases pain and tension. Here's a great one. If you're 68 like me or at any age, it slows the aging process. And so what does this practice of loving kindness meditation look like? Well, first of all, find a comfortable seated position, eyes closed or open, whichever you prefer. We take a couple of deep breaths to begin to relax. You might try breathing in deep, count of four, breathing out slow, count of seven, breathe in deep, count of four, breathe out slow, count of seven. And while you're seated comfortably, eyes closed or open, let your breathing return to normal, just breathing in, breathing out, and repeat your phrases silently to yourself while staying focused on sending unconditional love and kindness to yourself. Phrases like, may I be well, may I be happy, may I be filled with loving kindness. You can repeat any or all of these phrases. May I be well. May I be happy. May I be filled with loving kindness. And you can continue this for 2 minutes or a 20-minute meditation. And at some point, try this. Let go of the thoughts of yourself and let's expand this loving kindness practice to all beings everywhere. And so repeat those phrases silently to yourself. May all beings be well. May all beings be happy. May all beings be filled with loving kindness. And once again, you can repeat those phrases or just sit quietly with them. And so I hope you've enjoyed our activity to help further your recovery and to help that transformation into the people we were created to be. Thank you. Have a beautiful day.